two, hey, hot mic, ho.
Here we go.
All right.
Hey, Randy.
What's up, Foss?
Thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to try and get it right this time. I always say it wrong, but this is Foss, and you're listening to Foss FM. You see,
perfect.
I usually go, this is Foss FM, and you're listening to
Foss?
Yeah, it's weird. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I usually do. Mess it up. I mean, you would have thought after 3 years, I would...
Has it been that long?
It's been that long.
Oh, my God.
You know, I moved here 11-11-11.
Whoa.
Yeah, so...
That was just 3 years ago.
3 years ago. And then the week after I moved here, mm-hmm. I think, or thereabouts... Patrick and everyone was like, oh, you should do the radio show. And I was like, what? And then...
Why? I think it was at the sales meeting.
It was at the sales meeting, yeah.
So they must have that the same time of year, right?
All the time.
It makes sense. Yeah, I was just thinking, last year I went to the sales meeting and the writer was due. His due date was the 22nd.
Oh, wow.
But he wasn't born until December 1st.
Right.
So he was a couple days late. But it was funny. It was that thing. I was on call. I was like, well, I can come down to Lake Forest, but I gotta be home in case this baby arrives. I gotta be there to catch this baby when it comes out. So, and then the year before that, what was happening around now? 12?
Yep.
11, 12? 12?
12.
I have no idea. I don't remember that.
No. We skipped a year.
Yeah.
Of awesome things.
Yeah. Well, I got married 12/8/12.
Oh, okay.
So I was probably getting ready for the wedding right now, I bet. So I was hanging out. Yeah. Probably had the radio show then. Probably still had no age.
Yep.
At that point.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's too much. Too much going on. Like, it's too much so fast.
Too much awesome stuff to do. Cool. Hey, I want to play a no age song.
Sure.
I played a no age song a couple of weeks ago. And it was awesome.
Nice.
Of course.
Which song did you play?
I think I played Glitter.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
You know, on the single, there's an extra T on the cover that we didn't notice.
We released
it as a single, as a 12-inch single. And we gridded, it was all in boxes. Like every two letters had their own box kind of thing on the cover. And GLITTER. So it looks right in the sense of, but ITTER, it's
Randy, is it Glitter or glitter?
Yeah, something like that. So that was a fun song.
You know what? I'm gonna play said song.
Oh, right.
Because I think it's one of my favorites by
the
way. Let's see if this works.
Yeah.
sir.
So you know the problem with being on the radio is all the rad, interesting conversations happen when, you know, you're playing a song and then, you know, like we're having a chat about the acupuncture and the chiropractor and stuff.
But I don't know if that's good radio. Is that compelling radio?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? What is good radio? I mean, a lot of people just go for those like shock radio stations, don't they?
And yeah.
Like, you know, oh, I've got to call somebody and prank call them and make their life a misery.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Like, can we do that?
That's not really my jam.
Oh, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, I think with, yeah, the idea was if chiropractors are big over in England, and that you were saying.
Nah, yeah. I'd never been to a chiropractor before I moved here. Yeah. It always seemed like a sort of a rich sort of posh thing to do.
Yeah, really. Yeah. They're affordable here.
I think
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've been to a few over here. It's been good. So what have you been up to, Randy?
Ooh.
Since last time you came on the show, which was very first show we ever did.
Well, it's been 3 years. I think we hit on a couple of things. I went and got married.
Yep.
Yep. Bought a house up in Sunland.
Yeah, Sunland.
Being a homeowner.
Your house is awesome, by the way.
Oh, why? Thanks.
Love it. I love the tree.
Yeah, so many big trees.
Yeah, you got
big
some eucalyptus. Good trees.
Yeah. We've been working on it. It's a funny thing. It doesn't sound like much of a statement. Oh, but I bought a house, but you end up, I think, in that kind of weird, I found myself at least in that kind of like home improvement sort of zone.
Right.
A lot of time in Home Depot and nothing, you know, not to do anything major, but just every little detail becomes that kind of like, I think most of the places I rented, I didn't care if, you know, I think the floor was slippery or, you know, or whatever, if the grass was dying or something.
Yeah.
But that stuff all becomes boringly important when you foot the bill, or when you know you got it's the idea of it's yours, when you the ownership idea, I guess. But yeah, I did that, and then got a baby.
Yep,
picked ourselves up a baby.
He's awesome.
Getting big and crazy, and that takes up probably more time than anything else these days.
Yeah,
but I'm happy that that's a big part of my day.
Yep.
And then I'm just working on solo shows, doing solo recording and soundtrack stuff.
Oh,
just
cool.
Working on I did a soundtrack for this dude Ryan Reichenfeld. He's a skateboarder.
Oh, I know
him.
He
used to skate for pharmacy.
He did.
Yeah.
I know Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah. He did this short film.
You know what's funny? He hit me up and asked me to send you the film he made. For Glitter, the video he made for Glitter.
No, it wasn't Glitter. It was a song called...
he was on the album.
Life Prowler. Yeah, the opening track.
And it was the bicycle.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me to send that to you.
Oh, how funny.
Because he didn't know you at the time.
Right.
So,
yeah. It was so random. Yeah, he made that video for Life Prowler and just sent it. And then I didn't know who he was. He just said, hey, I made this video. We're like, cool. And we put it, you know, like put it on YouTube. I don't know.
Yeah.
We put the link out. But then randomly, you know, 3 years later or whatever, he got in touch and said he was doing this. He shot this short film and wanted to see if I would do the score for it. So that's been really awesome. We just did a screening at the Sonos Gallery over on La Brea. And then, I'm going to work on a couple other things with him.
Because I saw you do a live soundtrack to some nature film at the Silent Movie Theater.
Oh, yeah, The Bear.
Yeah, yes. That was really cool.
Yeah. It's funny. It's there's a narrative story to it. It came out in the 80s, but it features, you know, these real bears and real life kind of situations, but the bears were trained and it was all sort of staged in a way that, you know, at one point one of the bear cub eats mushrooms and then goes into this psychedelic kind of claymation sequence. I don't know if you remember that. That part, yeah, it's a fun film. But the idea behind that was I was Hadrian from Cine Family asked us to, if we wanted to score a film, and you know, the idea would be, you know, it's a silent film or something like that, but I wanted to find something that didn't really have a lot of talking, but was a little bit more modern or something, you know, something that kind of had a feel. I think silent films have their own kind of connotation to it. You know, you think like, ooh, okay, it's going to be this old timey piano or this dark Nosferatu kind of, you know what I mean? They feel like it's a loaded.
I was going to say, because I saw Nosferatu and it had a live score with it, the piano thing.
It's beautiful.
A few years ago.
Yeah,
it was great.
But it's haunting and dark.
Yeah.
And as it should be. So I didn't want to, do a soundtrack to a film that already had a loaded meaning to it, because then it's sort of who's servicing who.
Yeah,
you know, are we servicing the film, or is the film kind of servicing? I wanted this kind of new sort of experience, and I think that film The Bear had this really kind of great naturalist, you know, live and let live. How does man fit in nature? And I think that kind of appealed to me, and its overall message was, you know, this respect for nature and the power of nature, even though it was, you know, shot as a narrative film, but it had this kind of feeling of like the awe and wonder of, you know, the land and that kind of thing. So that felt a little bit more up our alley.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Hey, so tell me about the Ryan film.
So yeah, Ryan's film is it's a short film called Sean that's about this kid growing up in Lake Havasu, which is a biographical idea that, because Ryan grew up in Havasu, so he kind of made a film about a kid today that reflected some of his feelings about growing up in Lake Havasu, that area. So it's about 11 minutes long, and it's kind of just a profile of a kid who's a skateboarder. He's 16, works at Jack in the Box, and just kind of endures and tries to celebrate life in this strange party zone / desert wasteland.
Sounds rad.
Yeah, it was really fun. I don't know. I imagine it'll be up online.
Right.
Or you can, you know, just look for Ryan Reichenfeld.
Yep.
That's an easy one. You know, it's spelled how it sounds, you know, Reichenfeld. Yep. But yeah, doing that and just chilling. What have you been up to, man?
What have I been up to?
You got married.
I got married.
Yeah. Bought a car.
That was like, I moved to LA. I got a radio show. I bought a car. I got married. I put out a skate video. Oh, check this out. I got married. I put out a skate video and we did a premiere for it.
Oh, yeah.
And then 2 days later, we got married.
That's amazing.
We went out to the desert and you know.
Was it planned this way?
It wasn't. I don't know. It all just sort of happened at once, really. And then...
But the timing, was it now that the premiere is over with, let's go do this? Or how did that timing work out? Was it scheduled that way? Like, we'll have the premiere and then after we'll go do this? Or was it kind of, okay.
It wasn't like
premiere's done, I take a deep breath, fuck it, let's get married.
No, it wasn't. It was scheduled like that. Okay. Yeah, it was like, and then we were...
Where in the desert? Where do you go in the desert?
We went to Palm Springs, like Palm Desert. Okay. And it was this weird like couple's house. Well, I asked her at a Rolling Stones show during her favorite song.
Okay. What song is that?
Sympathy for the Devil.
Okay.
So, and then, you know, she said, we started crying, blah, blah, blah.
Rape, murder.
Yeah.
Murder.
And then we were like, well, let's go to the desert and get married. And she found this like really weird like couple, and they're both reverends and they live in this like gated community, and we went to the house and this thing's like little dogs like yapping the whole time. But it was awesome. It was really nice. It was like the perfect like for us to do it, you know.
Do a honeymoon right after, or was
honeymoon was shortly after. We went to she's from Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
So we flew to Atlanta and then borrowed her mom's car and drove all the way through the south.
Wow, you did the epic road trip. That was after, that was kind of part of it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was our honeymoon.
You went to like Memphis, right?
We went to Memphis. We went to Graceland, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And then New Orleans? we drove all the way down Tennessee, Mississippi, and all the way down to New Orleans in Louisiana. And it was amazing.
And then back to
Atlanta. We ate barbecue and shotguns. And
I'm sure. Yeah.
It was so much fun.
That's what you do.
And then we drove back up through Florida, actually, and then through Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And it was such an adventure. Oh, it was rad.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. And actually, the in-laws are coming on Sunday.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do they have the southern accents?
No, they're not. It's not too bad. No.
That'd be amazing. A big white mustache and a colonel hat. And, yeah. It doesn't look like the KFC guy. No.
No, he's got a big white beard. But
well, there's not that far off.
No.
You should get him a little colonel tie.
I know, right? For Christmas.
Yeah.
Should we have some of your solo stuff?
Sure, let's do it.
Yeah. Bear with me on this because I'm going to play it on a tape and I don't know.
It's a cassette.
A cassette. We don't really know how this works.
Do you remember winding these with like the ends of pencils?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, we're back.
Oh, man, we're all about that bass.
We are.
Star Wars edition.
I know. I want to hear it. Tell me about that song.
Oh, so that song is the first song off of Morbidly Upbeat, my meaning the Randy Randall solo cassette tape out now, available through DallasDistortionMusic.com. My buddy Evan in Dallas asked if I want to put a tape out. And I had been kind of doing these different experiments with like drum machines and kind of these sort of lighter ambient guitar tracks. And this was just after the Getty show we did, No Age did over the summer. I was like, oh, I want to try something with these ambient tracks, but see if I can put some kind of drum machine beat to it. And then it quickly just kind of ran from there. It was within like 4 songs in 4 days.
Wow.
Those are the tracks that make up, this side A of this tape, and side B is this kind of mashup without the drums of just all the just a mashup of all the guitar stuff and the kind of more ambient stuff. So you get two sides for the price of one in this cassette tape.
Right, it was great. I like that track.
Thanks.
What was that called?
Jeez. I don't know. I forget. No, they're up on a SoundCloud too, and you know, computers and stuff.
Oh, SoundCloud.
You can find it on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud Randy Randall.
Randy S. Randall.
I
gotta change that to Randy Randall. I just bought randyrandall.com.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah, fuck me. I gotta figure out how to make it. I did it through Squarespace.
Right, Squarespace is awesome.
Have you done that?
We do heroin on that.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
No,
I'm
out of it. It's really complicated. But then I got someone else to do it. But then
that's if how I to make know it how to
update it, then I'm good.
Okay. Well, maybe you can put me in touch with your person, because it was supposedly
he's in England,
easy.
And then he's in Brazil.
That's not easy.
Like, yeah, I can't even get in touch with him.
This is supposed to be easy. The whole thing was it's so easy. Drop, plug and play, or drop and touch or whatever, and I got nothing on it. So if you'd like to see a very unfunctionable website with like the template all still up,
right.
It's like the template for someone else's band.
Well,
with
I'm
my
gonna
name
start
on it,
doing
you can
mine
go,
soon. So okay. If I get anywhere at all hit you up.
All right. Maybe we can go in on it together and just beat our heads against the wall and throw chairs around. Well, just, why won't it load? PC load letter.
Yeah,
it won't work.
Tell me about this song.
So this song. So there's a song called All About That Bass, which is, you know, popular amongst moms and teenage girls.
And 9-year-old girls.
No, I mean 9-year-old girls.
9-year-old loves it.
So there was a parody of it about from the perspective of Darth Vader and his love of the Death Star, and how he's very excited, how he's all about that bass. That,
all right.
You know.
Let's hit this. Can't wait.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, face. Yeah, it's pretty clear. This ain't no small moon, but it can shatter and bring a planet down. It's got that boom boom that blow up all places like Alderaan chance where Alderaan space was. I helped the Emperor after Darth Maul got stopped. We know that Sith ain't real, cause even I got chopped. I got a rebuilt body, just raise it up, cause every inch of me is robot from the bottom to the top. Yeah, the Emperor told me don't worry about the size. Says it's not like it be blown up twice by the same Jedi. You know I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass. I'm bringing balance back. Go ahead and tell them Jedi bitches that. No, I'm not playing, I'm looking Leia's down. But I'm here to tell ya, every inch of me is robot from the bottom to the top. Yeah, the Emperor. I know. all about that bass, about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, about that bass. Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, about that bass. Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, about that bass.
Sexy stormtroopers.
Uh-huh.
Can't beat that.
Sexy version of Han Solo, that too. Damn, that was funny, man.
Yeah, all about the base Star Wars. One of the many, you know, things you come across in your while you're trolling the internet.
On the internet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever been on the internet, Foss?
I've heard of it.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not quite ready to go on there yet.
Oh, I heard a good joke.
Oh, yeah?
So there's two whales sitting at a bar. And the first whale turns the other one and goes, and the other whale turns to him and says, "Man, you're fucked up."
That's pretty good.
That's the joke.
That's really good.
That was told to me twice by the same person.
Oh, really?
That I didn't remember. Noah played a show in Indiana. And this kid, we met this kid there, and he told me this joke after. I was like, that's funny, you know. And then I was in New York recently with my other band, Rat Fist, and we were playing a show, and this kid comes up to me, he's like, "Can I tell you a joke?" I was like, "Sure." And he tells me the same joke. I was like, "Oh, all right." That kind of sounds familiar. He's like, "I told that to you like last year." I was like, "Oh, that's creepy now and kind of interesting, kind of weird."
That's his kick, right? That's his line.
That's his line, yeah. But I don't know. Well, yeah, I don't know what that means. But it was a good joke, so
what
now I've passed it on.
What does any of it mean, man?
No,
what
I don't know.
What does any of it mean?
Do you want to play a Rat Fist song?
Yeah, I want to play Rat Fist. That's a nice link.
Hey.
Nice link.
Hey there.
You've been on the radio before.
Man. So you're listening to Randy Randall on Foss FM here with Mark Foster.
See, Randy's better than this than me.
Oh man,
what are we gonna play?
So let's where are we at? What song? I think that Joaquin R song, the it's kind of a pain. It's the second song on side B, side two at 33 RPMs. Is a song called Joaquin R, and this is a band that I'm also currently in called Rat Fist that is me, myself, and Sean McGinnis from the rock and roll band Piss Jeans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And his buddy Mike Sabolik from Philadelphia. And so those two guys, the drums and the bass, are live in Philadelphia, and I live here in Los Angeles. So
how
we try to get together.
Work?
Not very well. We try. I fly. It's a lot of flying to Philadelphia and flying to LA.
Can't you just fly me in the middle?
We try. Well, right. We've tried. Well, no, we haven't tried that yet. We talked about it. We were gonna meet in like Chicago or you know Nebraska, but it
Nebraska is like probably more the middle, right?
Yeah,
the
but then you got
Oklahoma, like the dead middle of the country.
Feels like it. Have you been there?
Nah, my little brother used to live there for a minute.
It's nice. It's a good town. I like Tulsa.
Right. Okay.
We've been through there twice now. Yeah, I like it. But you know, if you're trying to play, if you're a fairly unknown band, or if you're two unknown members from vaguely known bands, and with your new unknown band, it can be tough. It's a fun starting from the bottom, you know, kind of story. So it's good. It's fun. But we're getting there. We're working our way up. So I think we've mostly just done shows in LA, New York, Philadelphia. We did do Pittsburgh, did some Rochester and Baltimore.
Well, but, you know. I thought you were great.
Thank you. Really, I don't mean to put us down.
No, I'm just saying. I thought it was a great show. It was really.
We played with Fucked Up here in LA. It was really awesome.
Yeah. And it was great.
These guys are awesome. Is the turntable not working?
I'm a little intimidated about the turntable, to be completely honest.
Well, there's a needle. You got to watch your finger.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see. Should you find the groove in there?
Told not to play with needles. Right, okay, so here
let's
we
see,
go.
Okay.
I'm not sure what...
All we can do is... let's see, now is there a channel for it?
There's a channel. No. I'm turning the channel.
That's phono. Okay. That's going to be your speed.
Oh, I got it.
Maybe try 45. That's good, though. I like that. Go back to that?
Oh!
That's good. I thought it did, too.
Okay. I don't know. Let's try and get a rerun on this.
Right there. Yeah, you got it. You almost there.
Okay.
What,
there?
Almost. No. Right in that line.
Oh, okay.
You can do it. Let me see.
Yeah, you do it. Oh, this is terrible radio, isn't it? Sorry, we're trying to put a needle on a record.
Thank you.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
So I'll tell you a funny story about that song. That song is called Joaquin R. It's this other band I'm in called Rat Fist. And I was trying to figure out lyrics, and I was, we only had so much time to record, but I wanted to record this song. I liked the song, but then the lyrics I didn't have yet. So I found myself on this Forgotten Realms wiki.com, and I found this article about Joaquin, who was a lesser deity of Fire and Round Pantheon, known as the Merchant's Friend, Liberty's Maiden, and the Golden Lady. Her portfolio included everything related to commerce and accumulation of wealth through free trade, as well as beneficial use of wealth to improve, you know, you get it, Dungeons and Dragons stuff.
Right.
But the lyrics came out straight from that article. I was just like able to like read them off in like verse. The first lines were, Joaquin was a goddess of commerce, known as the merchant's friend, Liberty Maiden, supported free trade, and known as a goddess of gold. And then from there, then I kind of just ramble on.
Amazing.
But the big chorus is, we are Joaquin R, wholly bound by trade to our golden god, our sacrifice is made. So it's a fun metaphor to get into for lyric writing. I feel like there's a whole realm of classic mythology.
Forgotten realm, no less.
Right. Well, she was cast down into the Forgotten Realm, and she was forfeited her powers, and she had to work her way back up. Are you familiar with Dungeons and Dragons? Did that make its way into your nerddom at all? Skateboarding kind of takes a big chunk of time.
It does.
But I know in England there's a lot of down winter time.
I think it was 12 or 13, and our school, they had a science fiction club.
Awesome.
And I was like, "What? That sounds good. What's that?" And I turned up one day, and it was like loads of nerds playing Dungeons and Dragons. And I was like, "What is this?" Like, yeah. I didn't even know anything about it. And so I kind of got into it. I was like, "Why not? Yeah, this is cool." And then as soon as like I discovered skateboarding, everything else just got forgotten about.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Went to the Forgotten Realm.
Yeah, I lost to the Forgotten Realm.
I was really into comic books. Before skateboarding.
Oh, except comic books. Held on to comic books, and I used to go to Manchester every Saturday, and I would start off at the comic store and go and get the comics I needed, and then I'd spend the entire day with them in my backpack and skating
around. Yeah. Wow. And you weren't worried about them getting damaged?
No, I didn't even care. I was just there to read them.
What did you follow then?
Oh, Marvel. I was a Marvel kid. I've always been a Marvel kid. Yeah.
Dark Horse?
Huh?
Did you ever get into Dark Horse?
Yeah, I liked a bit. Some stuff a little bit. Some of it was a bit too weird, but always like Frank Miller. Like that stuff. I like Hellboy a lot, but that was like much later.
Right.
Like when I was a kid, it was like it was when Marvel was at a peak. It was like they'd got
Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men, Jim Lee,
The Phoenix Saga.
It was just after the Phoenix Saga.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what was the one called where Wolverine's tied to the X and then he's got the shaman guy? What was that? What was the name of that thing? Well, he basically died, right? It was just precipitating all that. Everyone has to die. Like Superman died, the death of Superman.
They went into the crystal, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they got scattered over the earth and everyone lost their memories and that.
Was that storyline, did it have a name? I don't know what this is.
It was the follow-up to like either the Phoenix Saga or something.
Right after the Phoenix Saga.
The Phoenix Saga.
So this is kind of around the same time then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the death of Robin. Did you follow that? That's DC.
Didn't really get into that one.
Killing Joke, Batman.
I love the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
The thing with DC is the artwork I never thought was that good.
Mm.
You know? So I'd read the comic. Right. I'd read the comic and I'd be like, this isn't great. Like, the cover art's always great, and then you look inside and it's always like kind of cheesy and stupid.
Well, it still had that kind of 50s or 70s kind of coloring. I don't know what that paper was, if it was just kind of more of a newsprint thing.
I love that though.
Really?
I mean, my favorite out of everything is like 1968 Silver Surfer.
Oh.
Like, love that stuff. I think it's classic, you know?
But I felt like DC still held on to that kind of stuff. They didn't go, like, feel like, did, is that, am I wrong? I don't know.
No, you're right.
I'm not quite sure. I remember, or at least those old Batmans. I just kind of know, like Batman, all the characters had, like, no noses. Right. You don't use that kind of style. It was just these little eyes and no nose and, like, little lips.
But I don't know. For some reason, I never thought the art was that good at DC. But now that's all changed because Jim Lee's there, and he's amazing. So...
I remember I went to a few convention things, but it wasn't even Comic Con. It was just random warehouses out in the IE.
Right.
But I got Rob Liefeld to sign the new X-Men series. Do you remember this?
Totally. X-Force.
X-Force.
He did X-Force.
Right, but they launched a whole new just X-Men with like Sable. As it was kind of the post. That X-Men, when they all got scattered and were all through the crystal, then there was almost just like this like abrupt. I was so new to all that stuff. I think as a kid, once I saw that they could just kind of like quit a storyline or just alternate universe it.
Yeah,
I was that kind of coincided with my disillusion.
Yeah,
I'm like, wait, now I gotta buy five different titles.
Yeah,
like now, like they would just spread storylines out over all these different titles.
Yeah,
and for a kid on whatever my $8 a week was that I had my allowance, like I didn't have the money to start and I'm collecting all these things. Yeah,
and I would like take my money from the paper round and go and get comic books like 2008 AD and then all the Marvel comics.
Like, but you'd have to like pick a storyline. If that one went off, you wanted to figure out where that was going. Mm-hmm. You'd have to buy another title, and then you're stuck buying all these other titles. I didn't like that. Yeah. That ruined me. That's why I really liked the Dark Horse stuff, because it was always kind of like contained series of stuff. Like, I really liked Aliens and Predator,
right,
and that kind of stuff. And they had their own separate titles and the Aliens versus Predator stuff.
Yep.
So I liked him for that kind of stuff. I still have all my collection. It's like in a box up in the top of the closet.
Oh man,
I haven't touched it for years. But that was my pre skateboarding stuff. It was that, and then it kind of went into music. There's a lot of like White Zombie,
yep.
and then you know like L7 and Nirvana and Primus.
Yep.
And then skateboarding really hit, and then it all kind of changed. And then I dislocated my shoulder when I was like 15. So it was a good like 3 or 4 years there of like solid skating every day.
Yeah.
And then got hit by a car. That didn't stop me. I still kept skating. And then by the time I was 15, I had dislocated my shoulder to the point where it would come out of socket if I raised it above my head, like
yeah,
this style
I,
thing.
I,
so
I found out that happened too.
So it would be, I would try to ollie down these stairs and just my arms flailing around, they would dislocate in midair, and then I'd be in pain midair, and then I'd hit the ground, and then it would be this extra level of pain. So it just became a thing where I'm like, oh, I can't figure out how to skate without dislocating my shoulder.
Yeah.
So it just slowed that way down.
And did you have the operation?
Not until 2006.
Oh wow. Okay.
So I was probably, you know, like 10 years of just running around with yeah. this loose cartilage and ligaments in there, just slipping out of socket all the time.
Because they like stretch the muscles over, right, or something.
I don't know what it was all orthoscopic with the little thing. Right. They go in there and they put a post into the bone and then retie the ligaments down. Oof. So now it's tight in there.
That's good.
But then there was a time on tour. I don't know what No Age. It was No Age, Dan Deacon, and Deer Hunter. We were in Milwaukee, and Bradford from Deer Hunter and I were dancing during a Dan Deacon set, and I slipped on the dance floor and I dislocated my other shoulder.
Oh no!
So I think there's some kind of congenital weak limbs, weak joints, and
my first real major injury was a dislocated elbow. So I got my elbow pretty bad, and then.
Did they put it back together? And did you do the surgery, you know, or no? It's kind of just
my elbows
go.
Bend the other way, like by 15 degrees.
Ugh.
And then they said, like, they popped it back in. Well, when they were taking the X-ray, the nurse went, "Oh my god, isn't that supposed to be over there?" And I could just hear that from the next room. And they let me keep the X-ray, and it's wow. really horrible looking. Oh. And then
we should do a zine of X-rays. Do you yeah. still have it with you?
In your stuff somewhere? It's in storage in London. I
okay.
think.
I have two CAT scans of my brain,
wow.
Like almost 10 years apart. Is that right? Yeah, from 93 and 2003.
Huh.
I got major head injury
right.
to about 10 years apart, and just have these pictures of my brain as a 12-year-old and as a 22-year-old.
Wow.
But then, thank God, 32, all I did was flip the car. There was no brain injury.
Right.
I feel like, I think it was, yeah. That was 2013, so. Here goes. Here's to 42. We'll see what I do then.
No way.
Oh man, what do you want to listen to? We got any more? We got any more music here?
We got some more music. I'm sure we yeah. have. Yeah.
We want to do another tape.
Yeah, let's do another tape. I like the tape.
How do you feel about ELO?
Oh yeah, I can do ELO.
What do they got on this? Well, let's just pop it in wherever it is, right? We won't even yeah. worry about how to get it there.
Okay. ELO, huh?
Yeah.
We'll just pop it in for a bit.
Yeah. I see where they're at. There's a great ELO song called Mr. Blue Sky, which is one of my favorite songs. I was hoping it was on this record, but it's not. Do you know that song?
No.
Bum 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 bum.
Up.
Ah, we're done. Right. All right, that was it. That was the ELO.
That was the ELO. Bum, bum, it's really quiet. Bum, maybe you couldn't hear it. So this is what about Tightrope?
I don't know that song. Jeez.
No.
Well, this dude, Jeff Lynne, is a pretty epic producer.
Right.
So he did. He was in the Traveling Wilburys.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah. Let's see what they do here.
We can stay on and have this in the background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
Just checking in with the missus. Let's see. She's listening to Foss FM. Watching Mindy Project. Pushing her teeth. She says she knows that song. Maybe she knows. Is this from Gangster's Paradise?
Oh, it's so cool. No, I recognize it somewhere.
Gotham. This isn't made for me.
Constantine?
What?
Constantine? Do you watch that?
Did you see True Detective?
No. It's worth it.
Oh, worth
it's
it.
It's an HBO thing.
Totally worth it. Just get them all, see it, like, realize it was, like, probably the best thing that's been on TV in 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't, yeah. It's HBO, though, right? Or Showtime, one of those things?
I'll just steal it from the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't got into that. I don't know. I watch At Midnight on Comedy Central. It's a comedy show. That's about it.
We don't watch TV. We watch everything on our computers or Netflix.
Yeah.
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders?
Yeah, it's like a gang in English, and it's got Cillian Murphy.
Peaky Blinders. Yeah, I got it. Honestly, it's been a while. Listen to Fuzz FM.
You're good at this, Randy.
Hey, you listen to the Lee Baby Sims show. It's Lee Baby Sims. Stacks of Wax coming at you.
What does he
say on that?
He says,
hey, you listen to the Lee Baby Sims show.
Cold front coming in from the west.
That's from Down by Law, the Jim Jarmusch film.
Uh-huh. So good. Of course, our friend Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's new in Tom Waits' world?
Wow. New book? Records? Did you see the book?
No, who does the book?
Anton Corbijn.
Oh, of all the photos?
It's like 10 years worth of photos of Tom Waits, or like, wow. No, it's like more. It's like 30 years of photos.
Wow.
And then...
Is it a Taschen print, or it's
this huge limited edition print.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, I need to pick it up. And it was like
bucks.
$200 when it came out.
Yeah.
And now you look on eBay and it's like $400.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want to pay $200 for it, you know, get it at what
that
it cost
when it happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still that, even. The fact he said, I'd like to just pay $200 for this book.
Right.
Can I only pay $200?
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking money.
It's a lot of money for a book. And it's, I don't know.
I'm not good at being a book collector.
No, and then it's on your mantelpiece, and it's like, what are you going to read it every day?
Nah, this is fun to have.
You know, you were asking me if I still have my comics,
yes.
And I don't, because I got all the original, like, Todd McFarlane Spider-Man, and I was reading it month to month when it came out. But what I did is I took them all, and there was like a little comic fair, and I would sell everything that was worth any money at this comic fair, and got a bunch of money, and like came on trips to America and went skateboarding.
Yeah,
because that was like, you know, and I'd see just the world
around with paper.
Yes, I could sit in like, you know, Manchester with a room full of comic books that I'm really into, or I could see the world, and I decided to do that. You know
it's so funny, speaking of Tom Waits, I just found a Big Time, like, movie poster.
Loved Big Time, yeah,
for $40 at a vintage shop.
Wow.
But I went, $40?
Yeah.
All the things I could do with $40.
Yeah.
Do I need this? And I like posters.
Yeah.
But I really had that. I've just had this more recent conundrum of like, well, do I need to spend money on these things?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was thinking, I was almost like, $20. Can I only pay 20? You know what I mean? It's the same thing. But even that, $20 for a poster.
Yeah.
But if you like it, and it was already framed, the frame was alone, it's probably worth more than that. It's tough, though. It's a tough one to.
You can like it without owning it.
That's what Shannon tells me. This is a new thing for me. I'm trying to figure this out. We just went to Japan, and I would take pictures of funny things instead of buying them.
Yeah.
And it worked. It was pretty good. But then right at the end, last day, I got sucked into Tokyo Hands in the 99 or the 100 yen shop.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like last places. Day.
Yeah.
Like, right? Oh wait, we're gonna. I gotta grab something stupid.
You gotta spend some yen.
Yeah. Yeah. 100 yen. You know. It was. Yeah. But then
I
we came back.
I love Tokyo Hands.
Yeah. It's insane.
Love
we don't.
It.
I was trying to think if anything like that would work over here. Like Walmart's the equivalent, but not in any real way.
No.
Other than it's just got everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a quality to Tokyo Hands.
Oh,
there's
absolutely.
This kind of like craftsmanship to what the stuff they sell. And
which is funny because it's huge. All probably made in China.
Sure.
At the same place that Walmart is.
But it just feels like the stuff is kind of a more curated sort of quality or something.
Have you
like
been to a store called Village Vanguard?
No.
That's
here
my
in LA?
Favorite shop in the world. No. They're in Japan. I think I was talking to somebody about it the other day, our Japanese distributor, and he told me that there's like 500 of the things all over Japan.
What are they? What is it?
It's so interesting. You go in and it's like, just like knickknacks and curiosities and all this stuff and like magazines, and you're like, okay. And then you walk in the back and they'll have an entire section for like Pokemon or Hello Kitty or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But then it gets even like weirder and nerdy. Like there'll be like a Scooby-Doo section and you're like, what is this? Like, and everything Scooby-Doo is like right there. Or there'll be like, and then it gets really even more nerdy when I'm into like Japanese horror comics by this guy Ito Junji.
Uh-huh.
And he's got an entire wall of stuff, and then there's toys and stuff that I've never seen anywhere else.
That's insane. But it's a chain.
Yeah.
It's not just one.
No, there's a bunch of them. And then there'll be like a Rock and Jelly Bean section, and like there's all these like rad like artists, and there's art books, and there'll be like, it's so rad and weird.
That's amazing. Now I've been to the big toy store in Shibuya. Every floor is
kids,
its own kind of thing.
What's it called? I can't even remember what it's called.
Tentacle Rape, I think it's called.
Oh, okay.
That's an amazing store, but it's really one of those things you're just like, I don't need to buy everything.
Kittyland.
That's true. Kittyland, exactly. I knew it was, Kitty Fiddlers.
Yeah.
I knew it was something like that, inappropriate.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just don't need to buy everything. That's the today's lesson, kids. You don't need to buy everything.
Of course.
Except unless it's a Randy Randall solo tape or a Rat
there
for 7-inch.
There you go. You should probably try and get on that right away.
By the quality band No Age. You should definitely spend top dollar for any of those things.
Well, I think
Or heroin skateboard.
Oh, yeah. You should definitely buy heroin skateboards. Yeah. Which people have been doing recently.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
How's that happen?
Surprising to me. But
well, you have good distribution. That's why.
Yeah, we have good distribution.
That
which
helps.
Which is great.
It gets you out there. You know, I ran into Andrew the other day from the dentist.
No way.
Yeah. It was random. I was on in Toluca Lake, of all places. I just got a root canal.
And
I thought there was this cop behind me. I was like, that's weird. There's like a cop car behind me. And then he pulled up next to me, and I looked over to see if it was a cop, and it was Andrew and his lady. But you know, he drives like this Lincoln town car thing. And it looks like a cop car.
Yeah.
And so it's really funny.
Isn't it an X cop car? Because it looks like one.
No. I think it's a nice like town car kind of thing. Right, I don't, but okay. It has the same kind of like just profile in your rearview mirror. But but we were stopped at the red light and had this nice conversation for like longer than it felt appropriate. You know, the red light, you kind of go, okay, cool. The light's still red. You're not going anywhere. Like, hey, so skateboarding, huh? You told me you went to the Fender factory. I just feel like any conversation with Andrew is always just kind of epic.
Yeah,
you know, just I don't like don't want to miss anything. Not that it's all, you know what I mean. I don't know. It just still strikes me as like absurd and amazing to just to talk to Andrew about anything.
I know, he's awesome. Oh, did you see the Thresher thing recently? They have a thing, and it's which you take a test and it tells you which skater of the year you're closest to. And Andrew took it and got himself.
Oh, that's good. So, at least it's accurate in some ways.
It's accurate. That's good.
Did you take it?
I did. I got Cardiel.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
Which I'm pretty stoked about.
Yeah. That's exciting.
We have a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
And I really want to play you this song.
Please.
It's by our friend Tom Waits.
Okay.
And it's awesome. But we're going to play out with this, and then there's another show.
All right. Well, thanks, Foss, so much for having me on. Three years.
Thank you. It's been, 3 years. It was good to have the anniversary issue.
Yeah.
as it were. And it was rad.
Incredible.
We could do this for another hour, but I think the 10 o'clock show's here.
Is Clint here? No, Clint's not
your
follow-up guy anymore.
The
used to be.
Dudes who can do it, I think. I don't know who it is. But this is awesome. Thanks for coming on, Randy.
Dude, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Ratfist.
Yep, Ratfist. We've got all the Twitters and stuff.
Yep.
We just recorded another album. We're going to be mixing it probably till the end of the year, and then hopefully it'll come out sometime next year.
Perfect.
We're going to do some shows in the spring. Hopefully do some more stuff. And solo Randy Randall shows. Those will be coming around some point. Soundtracks.
Look for
keeping an ear out at your local Cineplex for something, hopefully.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Do the Hokey Pokey by our friend Tom Waits.
Oh, that's what it's all about, right?
This is what it's all about. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Randy's been awesome. See you guys next week, maybe. Let's sweet up. The elephant mode squashing out.
want to help the world.